चरण में खिल उठी है बंदगी। आपके पावन चरण में खिल उठी है बंदगी। आप है तो लग रही है जिंदगी, यह जिंदगी। आपके पावन चरण में खिल उठी है बंदगी। आपके
Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. We have a new program for you with music from the world of Osho and a discourse by Osho. This program is made for you as a 1 hour meditation. Just sit back, relax and enjoy the beautiful instruments, the songs and the words and the silences of our beloved master Osho. Discourse today is from the series The Secret, number 9. Osho is explaining a sutra and telling us about the essence of meditation. In fact, Osho says there is only one main practice, and that is remembering. Remembering who you are, who am I. You can do it anywhere, anytime, any day. The process will continue, it just never stops.
Now this is small story. Bahauddin Shah once gave an address on the principles and practices of the Sufis. A certain man who thought that he was clever and could benefit from criticizing him said, "If only this man would say something new, that's my only criticism." Bahauddin gave an address on the principles and practices of the Sufis. There is only one principle, and there is only one practice. What is the principle? The principle is that only God exists. There is no God but God. That is the principle. That is the very seed of Sufism. Only God is in millions of forms. Forms are different. Personalities are different. But deep down, if you go on searching for the innermost core, you will always find God and nothing else. So this is the fundamental principle. All other principles are secondary. This is the cornerstone of the temple of Sufism. God is. And God cannot be new or old. You cannot use words like was in reference to God. You cannot say God was. You cannot say God will be. You can use only one tense, the present tense for God. God is. God always is. So how can it be new or old? Yes, expressions can be old, but not the truth expressed. Bottles can be new, but not the wine. What I am saying is only a new bottle for the eternal wine. That's what Bahauddin was saying. But you can always criticize. And criticism can have two possibilities. One is, you can say, this is something new. There are people for whom it is enough criticism to say that this is something new. New means wrong. Because if it was truth, then others must have found before you. How it waited so long? If it is new, it must be wrong. Why it is not in the Vedas? Why Jesus didn't say anything about it? Why Buddha kept quiet about it? If they were knowers, they must have known it. So if it is not there, then something is wrong. This is one criticism. The people who always like the old, for whom, if something is old, it is bound to be right. As if only Jesus is old and Judas is not old. As if only Rama is old and Ravana is not old. As if only Krishna is old and not the people who were against him. They are as old. So just anything being old does not mean that it is right. And then there is the other party. This man must have belonged to the other party. He says, there is only one criticism. If only this man would say something new, that is my only criticism. He is saying that you are just saying old things which everybody knows. There is no need to talk about old things. Talking God is, truth is eternal. This has been said so many times. Why go on repeating it? Say something new. If you have something to say new, say it. It is not a question of saying it. It is not a question of repeating it. Bahauddin is not repeating Muhammad. What he is saying is his own experience. Now what he can do if his experience and Muhammad's experience coincide? What I am saying is not a repetition of Buddha or Mahavira. I am saying it on my own experience, on my own authority. It is my experience. In that sense, it is new. But what can I do? It has been the experience of all the Buddhas too. So, in a sense, it is as old as the mountains and as new as the dewdrop on the grass leaves in the early sun. This is the paradox of truth. that everyone has to know it on his own, then it is new. But it is the same truth. Buddha went to the sea and tasted it, and he said, it is salty. After 25 centuries, I went to the sea and tasted it, and I said, it is salty. Now, the question is, what I am saying is just a repetition of Buddha? If I had not gone to the sea, and just reading scriptures, I would have repeated like a parrot, that the taste of the sea is salty, because Buddha says it so, and I trust him. He must be saying right. Who bothers to go to the ocean? When Buddha has said, it is finished, it is decisive forever, then it would have been a repetition. But I went to the sea. I tasted the sea. And I found it that it is salty. Now what should I do? Just because Buddha has also said it is salty, I should not say it is salty because people will think it is a repetition. But then I will be lying. Should I say that it is sweet? But then it will be untrue. I have to be truthful. So I have to say two things. One, that I have tasted myself. And second, that now I am a witness that Buddha is right. I am not saying it on Buddha's authority. I am saying it on my own authority. In fact, I am giving Buddha a witness, an eyewitness, that whatsoever he has said 25 centuries before was true, was right. I know it through my own experience. That's what Bahauddin was doing. Now this man says, he thought that he was clever. And clever people, or at least the people who think they are clever, are always almost stupid people. Only stupid people have the idea that they are clever. A real intelligent person is not clever. When you have intelligence, what need you have of being clever? Your very life shows your intelligence. The clever person is trying to show that he is intelligent. And only one who is not intelligent tries to show that he is intelligent. Remember it. Only the ugly person tries to show that he is beautiful. And only the ignorant tries to show his knowledge. The man who knows never tries to show. It is seen by others. It happens on its own accord. When the spring comes and trees bloom, they are not advertising that come and see. But their perfume spreads to the winds. People start coming. And if people don't come, because people are so blind, they have lost all sensitivity, then at least bees will come, butterflies will come, birds will come. And that is enough. But they come on their own. When the perfume is released to the winds, people start coming. There is no need to brag about the fact. The person who is trying to be clever simply shows that he is not clever. He is afraid. If he does not show, he will be caught. If he does not show his knowledge, he will be caught. People make up to know that he is ignorant. Before they come to know, he has to make much noise. The really intelligent person does not try to show that he is clever or smart. He is clever. So there is no need to show it. He is not even conscious of it. He is unself-consciously intelligent. Cleverness is a plastic substitute for real intelligence. This man who thought that he was clever and could benefit from criticism said, if only this man could say something new, that is my only criticism. Now he must have been the believer in the new. The new is right. If anything is new, then it is bound to be right. That is another extreme of the same stupidity. One extreme, if anything is old, then it is bound to be right. The other extreme of the same stupidity, that if anything is new, then it is bound to be right. Right has nothing to do with old and new. Right is right. Whether old or new, it doesn't matter. It does not add anything to it. Bahauddin heard this and invited the critic to dinner. That was his way to create a situation. I hope that you will approve of my lamb stew, he said. When he had taken the first mouthful, the guest jumped up, shouting, "You are trying to poison me. This is not lamb stew." "But it is," said Bahauddin. "Though, since you don't like old recipes, I have tried something new. This contains lamb all right, but there is a good dash of mustard, honey, and emetic in it as well." This is Bahauddin's way of teaching. Now, Buddha would not have done this, neither Mahavira. This is Bahauddin's way. He wants to create a real situation. He is very scientific mind. He wants to hammer the truth while the situation is hot. He does not believe in talking. He believes in a pragmatic experimentation. he is very empirical. Rather than refuting the man verbally, he refutes the man in a very realistic way. Now he has shown the man his stupidity without saying a word. Now the situation is such, the man cannot argue. Just by being new, nothing becomes significant. And just by being old, nothing becomes wrong either. Bahauddin is saying, what can I do? If I mix into my statements of truth something of my own, just to make it new, it will be just like this stew. It contains lamb, all right, but there is a good dash of mustard, honey and emetic in it as well. It will be poisonous. It will not be nourishing. Man has existed for centuries. Truth has been discovered again and again and again. Many people have reached to the ultimate light. They have expressed it in their own ways. Their languages are different, but their message is the same. It is like few people go to see the sunset. One is a painter. He paints it. He is thrilled by the beauty of the sunset. He immediately goes to work. He is lost in his painting. He forgets everything. He has to paint the sunset. It has stirred his whole heart. That is his way of expressing. Another man, seeing the same sunset, may simply sit silently and watch it. He is also thrilled, but he goes into a deep meditation. You can see the grace on the man's face. You can see that it is not only that the sun is setting, something is disappearing in the man too. Maybe it is the ego that is setting. He has fallen in a deep harmony with the sunset. He is no more separate. He is part of it, part of the whole scene. He has disappeared as a spectator. He has melted into it, and the third may start playing on his flute. The sunset has become a song in him. And the fourth may start dancing. The message is the same, but the mediums are very different. Now, if later on you come to hear the record of the flute and you see the film of the dancers and you see the painting of the painters and you see a photograph of the meditators, will you be able to recognize that the source of it all was a sunset? Will you be able logically to reach to the conclusion that they have all expressed the same thing? It will be impossible. Logically it is impossible. Because what relationship you will be able to find between the flute and the painting? What relationship is there between sound and colors? How you will deduce that these colors represent the same thing as these sounds? And how you will be able to see that one man started dancing and another became so silent that he looks like a statue? How can the same sunset stir such different manifestations? Still, it was the same sunset. It created dance in Krishna. It made Buddha a marble statue. It made Jesus to sacrifice his all. It made Mahavira to go naked in utter innocence like a child. Different manifestations, but the source is the same. But how you can deduce it logically? Logically there is no way. Unless you have also come upon the sunset. If you have seen the sunset, then you will be able to understand that the dance and the song on the flute and the painting and the man meditating all are using different languages, because they are talented in different languages, because they know different ways of expression. But the experience that has triggered those different manifestations comes from the same source, the same sunset. Bahauddin speaks in his own way. But the truth remains the same. Truth is eternal. Truth is. Truth simply is. It is never new, it is never old, or it is as old as mountains and as new as the dew drops on the grass leaves in the early sun. It is both and it is neither. It is both and beyond. But you cannot arrive to this conclusion only by thinking. You will have to move into experiencing. Truth has to become an existential phenomenon to you. You have to live it. Only by living it you will be able to know it. Not vice versa. Not by knowing it you will be able to live it. No. That's what has been traditionally told to you. Know about truth so that you can practice and live it. That is utter nonsense. Live truth so that you can know it. Living comes first. Experiencing comes first. And then the shadow falls on your intelligence too. And your intelligence can make an understanding out of it. That's why Bahauddin created this situation. Otherwise it would have been an unnecessary argument. This is his way. Each master has his own way. But the truth is the same forever and forever. A monk asked, "When I wish to become a Buddha, what then?" Josu said, "You have set yourself quite a task, have not you?" The monk said, "When there is no effort, what then?" Josu said, "Then you are a Buddha already." You are truth. There is no need to know about it. You have to be silently listening to it in your inner world. You have to become still, calm and quiet. And suddenly the truth arises in you. Truth is already the case. Once Josu was asked about the holy person, the purified person, he responded, "There is no room in my place for such a rascal." Why? Should one be purer than one originally is? And moreover, there is no one to be pure or impure inside. Then he was asked, "Who is Josu?" He said, "A rustic." And that's what he happened to be, a Chinese peasant. And then he was asked, "Then who is the Buddha?" He laughed and pointed to the field and said, "The man leading his oxen, it is he." You are divine. You are Buddhas. You have forgotten about it. That's all. It has to be remembered. All that is needed is remembering. Nothing has to be achieved. You are it already. Truth is your very being. So it has not to be achieved. You have fallen in a kind of a sleep, awake, and you will know it. And you will not know it as an object. You will know it as your very subjectivity. Soren Kierkegaard says, truth is subjectivity. He is right. Truth is your innermost core. And that is the only principle of the Sufis. Only truth is, or only God is. And how to practice it? Then too there is only single practice. Jikr, remember. Come out of your sleep, remember. Enough for today.
Tadare tare tani dim dim dim. dim tadar dim tadar tar tani dim 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 tadar dim tadar tar tani dim 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 tadar dim tadar tar tani dim 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 tadar dim tadar tar tani dim 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 tadar dim tadar tar tani dim दर्पण है
इश्क दिलों का दर्पण है, इश्क खुदा का नूर है जिससे सारी दुनिया रोशन है, इश्क खुदा का नूर है जिससे सारी दुनिया रोशन है, सारी दुनिया रोशन है।
This was Osho Radio for today. The music in this program was by Richa, by Devakant, Manish Vijas, and Milarepa. We hope you enjoyed the program and stay tuned to Osho Radio. Please send your messages to info@oshoradio.net, and you can find more programs through the website of Osho Radio. Have a good time, everybody. Take care and bye-bye for now. Namaste.
Remember, remember, remember.